This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Grant Smith.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, Grant, you were born in
New Plymouth in 1945, at the end of the war. I was the younger of twin boys. My mother was very sick and my brother was very sick, so she never got to see me. I was wrapped in, a bit like Moses, wrapped in swaddling blankets and sent to Whanganui, to the Plunkett Hospital in Whanganui, and I was returned to my mother almost 6 months later.
Wow.
I grew up in New Plymouth. I had wonderful...
Do you think that had an effect on you? Do you feel disadvantaged compared to your twin?
I was aware later in my life, in my late digits and then in my teenage years, that the relationship with my mother was different to my brother's. And years later, when I had children of my own and things like bonding and isolation and separation talked about
more,
I had a conversation with my mother about it, and being aware of what had happened and why, it was much easier. Always knew I was loved, but couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, what was different? Anyway, sorry, I broke my plug there.
That's right. So, went to West End School.
In New Plymouth,
and many of my school reports said my interests lay outside the classroom. I did reasonably well academically. Played rugby and cricket for the school, and then went to New Plymouth Boys High School and did a general course. I was particularly interested in history, maths and accounting. I played rugby in the lower grades at Boys High School because I was a very small chap in those days. I thoroughly enjoyed my time at school, never wanted to leave.
So what, you mean there wasn't the standard discipline sort of things and the cane and strap and so on?
We got caned by J.J. Stewart, the famous All Black coach.
Okay.
For getting into the school bars at lunchtime before the bell had gone, so he gave 102 boys three across the backside with a cane.
but that didn't put you off...
It didn't put me off, and I got caned also for an ink. We used to use quill pen.
The inkwells,
I had a little ink splot on my English book, and the English master took exception to that, so I got three across the backside for that as well.
Oh, that's a bit rough. So it's not just discipline, it was just...
There's some cruelty in it.
But did it do you any harm?
It did not do me any harm.
Okay.
And it probably set me on a track towards a career which I thoroughly enjoyed for 35 years. I got a job in the magistrate's court, now the district court in New Plymouth, at the age of 16 and a half. And I spent four and a half years in New Plymouth. And then I had a two-day notice of a transfer to Auckland, to the Supreme Court in Auckland.
Two-day notice?
Yes, over Queen's... It came on Thursday before Queen's birthday, and on the Tuesday after Queen's birthday, I was working in Auckland.
I'm surprised they're allowed to do that.
Well, they did in those days.
So how do you... you'd have... they gave you accommodation, or you had uproot everything?
I was put up in the YMCA hostel, and then I had to find my own digs, as it were.
Yeah.
Within 10 days, I was living in the upper suburb of St Heliers in Auckland, and, in a boarding house. I learned so much in Auckland from the judges and the staff. And
So what were you doing in there?
I was a clerk.
The clerk, taking the courts.
So I took jury trials and in criminal matters.
When you say you took jury trials, so the role of the clerk was...
One of the roles, and we were called a registrar when we were in court, was to call the case, enter details in the minute books, you know, who was giving evidence and who cross-examination, who appeared and all the major events. So I did that for 6 or 8 months, and then I became... I looked after all the criminal files, so that when they came up from the the district court, I made sure they were in order and prepared them.
And how old were you?
Well, about 21.
Okay, yeah.
And then...
Was that normal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. And then at age of 23, I was promoted to be the registrar of the Fielding Magistrates Court.
Okay.
And I just recently married. So this was a sort of a stepping
stone. Okay, so you married at 23.
Yeah.
Was that normal as well?
Yeah.
And you could expect to be transferred at 2 days' notice?
Or well, is that slightly different at that. Applied for jobs.
Oh, okay.
So, I think I had 11 applications for different places around the country, and I was...
You were in a hurry to leave Auckland?
It was opportunity to get ahead in your career.
Oh, okay. You have to move for a promotion.
You got quicker promotion if you moved.
Yes.
So I came to Fielding.
And what did you think of that?
And
were you pleased that it was Fielding? Or you thought, well, I've got to go because it's a promotion?
I was pleased because both my wife's family and mine came from Taranaki, so we were very close to our families.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And, but it was, and I'd worked in, relieved in small courts before, so I knew that I was what I was coming to.
Yeah.
But coming from a staff of about 20-odd, there was myself and one other person.
Okay.
And I was...
So you were supervising them?
Yes, and then there was authority to... employ a shorthand typist, which I did.
And so was the Fielding Court very busy?
No. The small courts weren't busy.
You were
busy once a month when the court sat.
So it wasn't really a five-day week, or there was other things to do?
We had work to do, but the busyness was around the court day when everybody came to court, and the magistrate came from Whanganui.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And... So a couple of days beforehand and a couple of days after doing the clean-up, you were busy. Our first two sons were born in Fielding. It was a very good place to start a family and bring them up.
Yeah.
I played cricket for the Fielding Cricket Club in the third grade team.
So let's say you moved from, I suppose, New Plymouth was bigger than Fielding, but you moved from, but a lot smaller than Auckland. So you moved to a much bigger place first, and how did that feel? You didn't notice? You just went and
I had been sent to Auckland a few times to relieve.
Ah, so you knew already.
So I knew what it was like.
Okay.
Fielding was small. And I played in this cricket team, and we were known as the Thirsty Third Graders because between innings we went to the pub and had a jug of beer. One evening we were invited to a function, and I was up dancing with a lady who was a lot older than me, and I said to her, "You remind me very much of my auntie," who lived in Hara. And the lady said, "Well, I used to live there. What was your auntie's name?" And I told her, and she said, "Well, she was my best friend." And we became very friendly. We became very friendly with that family. And then after 4 years, I got promoted to Oamaru.
Yeah.
As the registrar of the court at Oamaru. And we spent 4 years there and had two more sons. They were born in Dunedin. Oamaru was slightly bigger than Fielding. It was a wonderful place to live. I complained after, well, I didn't complain after the first year, but I mentioned to one of the locals after the first year that they didn't get much rain because it only had 12 inches.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that's pretty good because we'd had 8 years of drought.
Now, if you're working in the courts, was there much difference in the sorts of cases in the different places?
Not so much. In Fielding, I was a registrar of birth, deaths and marriages and solemnised marriages. I was the registrar of electors, that was rolling electors. Mm. I was the returning officer. I ran the elections, general elections.
Okay.
When I went to Oamaru, I had all of those things, but I was also the warden of the mining court and receiver of
the
gold.
The mining court.
Yeah, gold revenue. So it was of the gold mines, the old gold mining days in the Central Otago and North Otago.
So that was still
part of the district courts.
Yeah.
Job.
Okay.
And I had collect the revenues off the companies. They had to give us a return on how much gold they had extracted, and then I would send them a bill.
So there's a lot more than just court cases in the courts, isn't it?
And in those days, long before ET, we registered aliens. Mm-hmm. So any foreigner who'd come to the country was registered as an alien.
And every time they had to report?
And they had to be registered, and they were given a book.
Yeah.
And every time they changed the address, they were required to come to an office. And most, because the court was very central to a community, it was done at the courts.
Okay, yeah.
So that was an addition to the work. And then I was promoted to Hara in Taranaki, where I was responsible for the Hara and Pātia courts. And I had four staff in Hara, and we did all that work, but I was also the official assignee in bankruptcy and handled bankrupt estates and official liquidator.
Did you have all sorts of training for this, or was in your work you had to take time off for courses?
We always referred to it as apprenticeship. You learnt as you went.
Okay, yep.
And some of the things that I learnt in New Plymouth I didn't require until later in my career, but I'd done them and I knew the process for them.
Okay.
At any rate, I was appointed provisional liquidator of a company that was running, that had a hotel, so I ran the hotel for 4 months.
Okay. With no background, haven't they?
Well, look, I knew how to drink in them, but that was a start. But no, it was a matter of...
Well, actually, that's interesting, because in recent years they were talking about the idea, just because someone ran a brewery doesn't mean they can run a hotel, but if someone runs a court, they can then run a hospital, right there.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful experience. Hara was a slightly bigger on Oamaru and Fielding, but it's still a small community. And I was fully involved in the school committee and the church and the sport. 2 years later, I was promoted to the Invercargill Court as the registrar. It was a court that was in a bit of difficulty in its operation, and I was sent with another colleague to put it right.
So, was this a career you chose, or you sort of fell into, or you found very satisfying?
Fell into it because I went to the State Services Commissioner in New Plymouth.
Yeah.
And he said, I can send you to three places, and I was sent to the old, well, it's now WINS, but it was called Social Security Department in those days, and the Public Trust Office.
Okay.
And the court. When I was at the court job, seemed far more interesting than the other two.
Okay. Yeah.
So I took the job at the court.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was really glad that I did. Invercargill was a lot bigger, and I was also responsible for the High Court. I had 23 staff there.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of challenge.
So it was almost as big as Auckland.
Yeah, but in Auckland it was just the High Court.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In Cargill was the High Court in the District Court.
Yeah.
And I had the bankruptcy and other stuff, so the response, you know.
Yeah.
It was a challenging time in Invercargill, but we turned the place around.
Yeah.
I was involved in the schools and the church there, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Invercargill. People criticised the weather, but not too bad.
Yeah.
My wife wasn't really happy that we were going there, but she had three girlfriends she'd been at high school with, and they were all there, so that made her induction into the...
So was it in New Zealand, were people moving around a lot?
Yeah, public service they were.
Okay, yeah.
So we spent 7 years in Invercargill, and then my wife said she'd had enough. And there was a job in Wellington, and I was promoted to the registrar's job in the Wellington District Court.
Okay, yeah.
That time had 100 staff and 12 judges they had to look after.
So what? How were you viewed in society with working in that area?
As a registrar, you were...
you're neutral.
You were held in with some regard or respect.
Okay. Yeah.
And the court was a focus for people that didn't know where to go. They came to the court to ask. So we became...
So it's like the Citizens Advice Bureau.
Very much like it. And when we were in Oamaru, people from the tax office in Timaru would come every fortnight to getting the tax off farmers, purchases made by farmers. And so in the weeks when they didn't come, we would collect the information or the bills and things and tell people. So we did a lot more than just court function. As registrar of the High Court in Invercargill, I held the position of Sheriff of Southland.
Okay.
And in heraldic, I was the third. If the sovereign was in town, I was the third most important person and had to attend on the sovereign.
Okay. Yep.
In the office of sheriff.
Yeah. Okay. And you have a special outfit for that.
No. And somebody said to me, "Where's your horse and six shooters?" Well. And in the old days of capital punishment, the sheriff was one of the officers who had to attend executions.
Okay, yeah.
And one of my bosses in Auckland had been to four.
So you were pleased that that no longer applied?
I was pleased it was no longer there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in Wellington, I was the registrar there for 10 years. I had a lot of staff, but my job was mainly managing managers
and
developing people.
Yeah.
And we were involved in a whole lot of initiatives in the court to improve the service. And I did a 12-month secondment when the work between the High Court and the District Court was changed.
Yeah.
And I was involved in doing the rules for the District Court, and the training and the new procedures afterwards. I led a team on that.
Did you closely follow the UK courts, or was it that they forged their own direction by then?
Not so much the UK court. We were very closely. We watched what was happening in Australia very closely.
Okay.
And people were sent for conferences and things in Australia.
Okay.
And in case management, managing cases, I was involved with the executive judge in Wellington introducing a new case management system.
Yeah.
And we were sent to Melbourne for a conference, and during the conference there was a session on case management, and they introduced these principles.
Yeah.
Called the Solomon Principles. And they were, bloke wrote them on the board, 1 to 10. And at afternoon tea time, my executive judge said, why didn't we do number 9? And I looked at the board and I said, well, we didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
So we were, during the afternoon tea break, they spoke to the people and running the seminar, right? So next minute we were up talking about our experience.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, the Solomons came from America to teach their case management system. And
So the Solomons is after the current American legal scholars. It wasn't the wisdom of Solomons.
No, the current, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were giving a seminar in Auckland, and so they asked for what was happening in New Zealand, and the principal family court judge got up and started talking and something, and they were very interested, and he said, oh, well, most of this was run by Grant, our registrar, sitting over there, so they got me up to speak.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, you should be running this seminar. You know as much as we do. And I said to them, well, you're much cleverer than I am. But I said, because you've put common sense and written it in a book and made a lot of money.
In your time, was there much talk about reforming the courts and coping with caseloads and
ongoing.
Yeah.
And we made... We did make some progress,
mm-hmm.
And then it slipped. But in 1996, there was a restructuring of the courts, and all the senior staff were made redundant.
Mm-hmm.
So after 35 years in the job that I loved and enjoyed doing, I was made redundant. It didn't come as a shock because I'd prepared myself for it. I managed to get a job as a bursar in a school.
Yeah. And where were you? In Wellington?
In the Hutt Valley.
Okay.
Where I lived. That didn't pan out as I expected.
Yeah. Now, you were there's a lot of idea about pension schemes and so on.
There was the government superannuation scheme.
Okay.
And our redundancy, because of that, it was reasonable.
Yeah.
But I think I can honestly say, right through my career, and we used to complain sometimes about salaries, but I can't say that I ever thought I was poorly paid.
Yeah.
Everybody expects more, but I don't think I was ever poorly paid.
Yeah.
After 6 months at the school, I came to the conclusion that it just wasn't a proper fit for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gave them 3 months' notice and told them what I'd do in 3 months. And then I thought, now what will I do? I just had a marriage break up and was settling all that. And I thought, well, I'm...
Was that linked to the change of job?
No, I don't think so. I thought, I haven't had a decent holiday for a long time. So I went to Australia, and I, with the express intention of not working for 6 months, I took enough money to last me for 6 months.
Yeah.
And after 3 months, I started to apply for jobs, and you don't have any Australian experience, which I found rather interesting.
Yeah.
And right on Christmas, I saw a job advertised by the New Zealand Internal Affairs Department. They wanted somebody to run the passport and citizenship operation in Australia, so I applied for it.
Yeah.
And on Christmas Eve, I got a letter from them saying, well, they were going through further restructuring. They had 115 applicants, and they'd let me know by the end of January what was happening.
Yeah.
I got an interview. I was sitting in circular key, wondering what question they might ask, where my previous experience might come into thing. And I had a light bulb moment, and they asked the question, and I was able to give them a very, very good example of it.
Uh-huh.
And I got the job.
Uh-huh.
So I ran the New Zealand passport office, passport and citizenship office in Australia from Sydney for 6 years. I enjoyed Sydney, the beaches and the weather, and had a fabulous staff, there was 10 people when I started, we'd increased to 12 or 15 when I left.
Yep.
But they were hard working, very good bunch of people, majority of whom were Kiwis.
Yeah.
And then I came back to New Zealand when I was 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job in the work and income collecting debt.
Okay.
There's the people who had some overpayments in their benefits, but mostly because they'd had advances to buy a washing machine or a thing, and it needed to be paid back.
And this was door knocking to...
No, it was all phone work.
Yes, okay.
And sending out letters and things. But I'd you know, through my bankruptcy and court work where we collected fines and had made arrangements with people to pay stuff. I was familiar with the processes. And I did that for 3 years. And then I saw an opportunity in the legal services area, which was looking after legal aid.
Oh, okay.
Which fitted right in with what I'd done.
Absolutely,
In the court. Yeah. So I applied for a job there, and I got the job. The senior advisor and the thing thought that I wanted to get his job. And I said, what do you think that? He said, well, you know, you've got all your achievements and what you've done in life and what you've done.
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to be a boy.
You just want to cruise through to retirement.
I do not want to be managing people. I did it for 30 years. I do not want to be doing it now.
Yeah. That's interesting because we're just about at time, but they do say about it's harder for older men to get into jobs after if they've been made redundant or because people are afraid that you know they've been too senior and would they take orders from people and so on. It's sometimes been identified as a difficulty.
Yeah, well, when I finished with the passport office in Sydney, I thought, well, I'll stay on till the summer was over, and they had jobs meter reading, and I applied 8 times to be a meter reader and never had one response, and I rang them up and they said, well, you're too qualified, you'll just leave us. And I said, I want a job for the summer.
Yeah.
And I still didn't get one. But
thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.